Good morning, Midland First. Yeah, I cannot hear your voice well. Good morning.
Good morning.
I welcome all of you who came to, you know, our church building today to worship our God together. And also I'd like to welcome all of our friends and brothers and sisters out there who are connected to us by internet, TV, and radio. I believe we're going to share the same blessings as we are getting here together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Yeah, this coming Tuesday, we have a very special event organized by our youth. So, Westin, would you please share your announcement?
Good morning.
So, there's only two more days until the Pancake Fest. We would like you to join us for the youth fundraiser on Tuesday, February 11th, 2024, from 5 to 7 for pancakes, sausage, bacon, applesauce, coffee, milk, or water. There will be cards for Euchre or Uno, or a game on each table. Delaney will be playing jazz on the piano. Perhaps most fun will be the photo booth. This festivity is not all about us. Proceeds will go to purchase warm clothing for kids and youth at the God's Country Cooperative Parish in the UP. What can be better? A good cause and good food. Please raise your hand if I will see you there.
Okay, just raise your hand.
Wow.
Okay,
let's
give him a round of applause. You did a good job, Westin. And as you know, right after this service at the chapel, we're going to have a town hall meeting, and then we're going to update you about what's going on at the church. Please join the town hall meeting right after our worship service. And Jo Winchester, she has a special announcement about the new ministry we're going to launch, you know, soon. Jo?
She's up there.
Oh, please. Okay.
I would like to announce that Mary Yeoman and I have put together a plan to form what we are calling Stronger Together. This is the name of a new fellowship of women who have lost their spouses and desire fellowship to mentor one another while seeking a purposeful future, embracing their own strength and courage. Meetings will be the first Thursday of each month, 1:30 to 3 in the Hearth Room, beginning April 4th and May 2nd, but not during the summer. Building friendships and learning from community members are the goals. This information will be in the next bulletins to invite women of the church who might enjoy such a gathering. However, they may invite a friend. Any questions, Mary and I would be glad to answer. Thank you.
Please, you know, pray for this important ministry for our congregation. I'm so glad we can start this, you know, ministry at the church. And Tyler?
Hello, everybody. I'd like to announce another sort of pickup choir thing. Last week, we had the women's choir, which went terrifically. And then in a few weeks, March 3rd, we're going to have we're calling it men's chorale. We have two rehearsals. They are this next Sunday and the Sunday following at 1:00. They shouldn't be super long, under an hour. And if you're only able to make it to one, that's okay, because the whole point of this is to get people singing, get people involved. It's not going to be a huge commitment, and we're singing an arrangement of a hymn that I think most people know, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I really hope to see some folks there, and we'll have a great time.
Thank you. And then we have, you know, Bethany, Pastor Bethany, about our scholarship. Yeah.
Good morning. Scholarship applications are available from now until April 18th. You can pick them up on the reception desk. They will also be available on the website beginning this week. If you have any questions, please send me an email, give me a call. I would be happy to answer them.
And also, as you know, we are going to go into the Lenten season, you know, this week. this coming Wednesday, we'll have, you know, Ash Wednesday service here at the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. Pastor Bethany will lead that, you know, service. Please join the Ash Wednesday service, you know, this Wednesday. And let us watch the, you know, video clip we have for you for the Lenten season Bible study.
Back after this commercial break. And now, a short commercial break.
Hello, my name is Denise Link, and I'm here to invite you to our Ash Wednesday service, which will be on February 14th, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. Please come and join Pastor Bethany in this service.
Yay.
As you know, we have a Wednesday Lenten Bible study coming up, and we are studying the book, A Purpose-Driven Life, written by Reverend Rick Warren. Sorry, I was having a name issue there. I know that Wednesday nights may not work for some of you, so Reverend Yum has given me permission to facilitate a Monday evening class. This class will be studying the same book. We will not be having a meal, but we will have a time to meet together to go over the same materials and to have some time to chat about what it is that we're studying together as a group. If you are interested, please contact Natalie in the office, or you can contact me directly. Thank you.
Also, we have one more class available for you if you don't feel comfortable coming to church building at night. So 3:30, we have one group that, you know, we can get together and study the book, you know, together. And then after that, you can join the fellowship time, and then you can go home. So this, not this coming Wednesday, but the next week Wednesday, we're going to get together. But your reading has to be started this coming Thursday, okay? Please remember that. This coming Thursday, okay? And why don't we stand up and let us, you know, greet one another, okay?
May the grace of the Lord Jesus draw us close to himself and to one another in this hour. Let us worship God with gladness and gratitude for who he is, first and foremost, and also do what he has done. With the humility, may we allow the Holy Spirit to work within each of us. Please be seated. Please be seated.
Except for the kids, couldn't you come on up? Good morning, everybody. I hope the congregation is praying for them and the Sunday school. So this Sunday, we are going to review the story of the Holy Family, a story of love. The Valentines you made last week are delivered or being delivered soon with your love. We are also going to review the circle of the church here. We have been in some great green growing days. We are moving into getting ready for Easter. Brilliant. Those days are called, remember, Lent. There will be six Sundays. Then, after Easter, there will be six Sundays before the red hot day of
Pentecost.
Good job, guys. Maybe we don't have to review. We've had a volunteer this morning to read our prayer.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your creative genius that gave us the Holy Family and the church calendar. But most important, you love us, and we thank you for that love, grace, and mercy. Amen.
Amen. And kids, we're going to stay today to say the Lord's Prayer and sing the doxology because we have friends who are going to play some music for us, okay? So if you can sit in the first two rows.
Would you please join me in the prayer? Dear most gracious God, in your grace, you have called us to be your church as a reflection of your kingdom on earth. We are so honored to be your family together. God, as we are entering the new season, we pray that we can humbly and honestly see our hearts. Let us have holy discomfort. Cleanse all the impurities and bitter emotions we have taken and built up. Allow us to follow your Spirit. Your Spirit is the spirit of prayer. Help us to kneel down before you and talk to you about the states of our hearts candidly. Also, we remember those who are still suffering from the wars between Ukraine and Russia, Israel and Palestine, the civil war in Myanmar, and many other places. God, we pray for your peace to be with all those in conflicting places. We pray for your shalom to be evident in their lives. We pray for your goodness and love for them in the midst of desperation, frustration, and anger. Remember our church family who are suffering and preparing for surgeries. Surround them with your healing power and help them to see you are walking closely with them at this time. God, we are your means of grace to the people around us, as your Son has done for us. Help us to remember and live up to your call together. Now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to a time of, you know, offering. After this worship service at the Palo area, Pastor Bethany and also Heidi Kinnan will be with you to help you out to sign up for our Lenten season, you know, Bible study. Please, you know, see them after service at the Palo area. We really appreciate your continued support for the missions we have at the church. Please continually pray for your church so that we can be much more missional church, and also we can continually support our missionaries and mission agencies locally and also globally. Ushers, would you please come forward?
Thank you.
Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings we have. As a token of our commitment and love for you and for your kingdom, we offer these offerings to you, Lord. Please, God, accept them. Also, God, we give our lives to you. We are yours, and we belong to you, Lord. Use our lives only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite from Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then he then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us, pray, together once again. Dear God, we are in your presence. We open our hearts towards you. Please, God, speak to our heart. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today, we are going to cover the last means of grace, which has been neglected for years in our tradition. But which had been considered as a key means of grace for the faith and vitality of the Methodist movement by our founding fathers. The class meeting. Have you ever heard the name class meeting? Just raise your hand. Yeah, I can see. Half of our congregation, they heard about the class meeting. In our denomination, the official means of grace can be divided into two groups: works of piety and works of mercy. So in the Protestant church tradition, whenever you hear the word mercy, it is always related to mission. In each of the groups, we have individual and communal practices. So I'd like to share with you the full list of the means of grace we have in our denomination. works of piety, individual practices, reading, any Christian books, or the Bible. Meditating and studying the scriptures, prayer, fasting, regularly attending worship, healthy living, and sharing our faith with others. Communal practices, regularly share in the sacraments, Christian conferencing, accountability to one another, and Bible study. Works of mercy, individual practices, doing good works, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, feeding the hungry, and giving generously to the needs of others. Communal practices, seeking justice, ending oppression and discrimination. For instance, Wesley challenged the Methodist to end slavery and addressing the needs of the poor. Think about your life. How many means of grace are you practicing now? As I shared with you, the means of grace are the ways that we can experience God's grace in our lives. Why do we need grace? To grow, to be transformed, to be more like Jesus Christ. Unless we practice these means of grace we have, it's not easy to grow more, to understand God's love for us and for the world, and to become more like Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. Can you find the class meeting here? We cannot find it, right? Maybe Christian conferencing. But Christian conferencing has been practiced in a different kind of a meaning. Then what happened? Pastor Yom, did you just make it for your sermon series? Let me quote John Wesley on the class meeting. Never omit your class or band. Never absent yourself from any public meeting. These are the very sinews of our society. And whatever weakens or tends to weaken our regard for these or our exactness in attending them strikes at the very root of our community. Now, what is band meeting? The band meeting was organized according to sex, age, and marital status and usually had about 6 people. They were homogeneous groups that met together for more intimate fellowship, for the goal of transformation. They were very intentional. So they had to, share some, answers about the questions they had. It was about their spiritual life. And also they tried to support one another very strongly. Then the class meeting was a heterogeneous mixed groups in terms of sex, age, social standing, and spiritual readiness. Around 12 people got together for warm fellowship and life sharing. So in the class meeting, you can find the different kinds of people. Young and old, rich and poor. Those who attended the church for years, those who newly joined the, church. John Wesley believed that if the class meeting was threatened, then the very root of Methodism itself was in danger. He was right. According to Kevin Watson, an expert on John Wesley's small group ministries at Asbury Theological Seminary, he said, majority of scholars of Methodism, they believe the decline of the class meeting is one of the major reasons for the decline of American Methodism over the past several decades. That is why John Wesley said, those who will not meet in a class cannot stay with us. So attending the class meeting every week was a requirement for participating in Methodist society at that time. As you might remember, at the time, they didn't start officially Methodist churches, but they had a society. It's like a church. Then what is the class meeting? Today's scripture provides us with the biblical backgrounds of the small group ministries, including John Wesley's class meetings. After Jesus ascended to heaven, his disciples stayed in Jerusalem to receive the promised gift from God, the Holy Spirit. At the time, they were threatened by the religious leaders in Jerusalem, but they were bold enough to courageously deal with the persecution. After they encountered the resurrected and ascended Jesus Christ, they were so brave. Finally, on the day of the Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. According to today's scriptures, the Spirit of unity, power, and grace. Now we can see from today's scriptures the clear picture of the church that is filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, the class meeting is an expression of the church's unity and accountability to its members, as we can see in the early church. Let me tell you about how John Wesley officially started the class meetings. In 1742, a group of Methodists were trying to figure out to pay off a building debt in Bristol, England, because they need a place to help out the poor. So they need to build a building to be used as a hospital and also as a church and also as a mission station. So they tried to build a house, build a special building for their purposes, for those purposes. And Captain Foy suggested dividing the Bristol Methodist Society into groups of 12 people. And each group leader would be responsible for visiting everyone in the group every week in order to collect one penny from each person, because they had to pay off their building debt. That was his idea. And some expressed the concern that this would prevent the poorer people from being involved. Then Captain Foy said, okay, just let me have 11 poorest people in our society. I'm going to visit them every week. And if they cannot pay their pennies, then I will pay their pennies for them. But you leaders, please do the same as I do. And then he visited his people in his group, in his assigned group. And the other people realized that, wow, this is a really wonderful way that we can come to know the situations of our church members. Because when they visit their people, they just didn't give their pennies. And also they share their lives. Yesterday, I'm sorry, I drank alcohol. I need your prayer. My wife is sick. Can you just, you know, share this, prayer concern with, John Wesley? John Wesley could hear a lot of stories from the small group leaders about what's going on in their lives. So to meet their needs, John Wesley officialized the class meetings. Secondly, the class meeting is a wonderful vehicle for evangelism and missions. Acts 4, verse 33. Let us read this scripture together. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. At the time, the Church of Jerusalem, they met together in their church members' houses. And also they participated in the worship at the temple. But their relationship with the Jews were not good because they believed Jesus Christ is Son of God. In AD 70, when the second Jerusalem temple was collapsed by the invasion of the Roman soldiers, that was the time officially and physically the Christians were separated from the temple. Where did they go? They continually met together in their church members' houses. And this, small group gathering was a wonderful way that we can evangelize people. The people in the class meeting knew that they could be cared for by their leaders and also even by their class meeting members. So they invited people to join the class meeting to be cared for and to share their lives together and to experience God's grace there. I remember, when I led the small group ministries at Troy Korean Church, we used to have around 80 to 90 small groups. They got together every day, every Sunday or Saturday in one of their, small group members' houses. And around 12 people got together all the time, and they shared their lives, and they prayed for one another, and also they shared their meals. It was a time of feast, and also getting to know each other. And people invite their friends to the small groups, the class meetings. But some of them, they didn't want to join the church. It was okay. As long as they can find a small group they can belong to, and they can share their lives in the near future, many of them, now I think I can join your church. Sometimes small group leaders, they used to hide how many people are attending their small group because they don't want to be separate from one another. But there was small groups which had around 20 people. It's too much, too many. 20 people in a small group, not easy for them to share their lives, but they don't want to be separate from one another. They just want to get together. I heard the same story from the men's Friday group Bible study. They don't want to be separate, one another. They just want to, get together every Friday for Bible study. That is what can happen when we have class meetings. Still, a lot of people, even though they come to church every Sunday in beautiful clothing, but they still have their baggages of concerns and broken relationships. We are called together to support one another and also to encourage one another. Where can we get the encouragement and support other than our church? Can you say amen to that? Amen. Last but not least, the class meeting is a place where people can be nurtured, trained, educated so that they can grow to be leaders in God's kingdom movement. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 through 37. There was a Levite from Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Apostle Paul was invited by Barnabas to join the newly formed church in Antioch. Barnabas and Paul were commissioned together by the church of Antioch for their first mission trip. As you know, Barnabas introduced Paul to the church of Jerusalem. And later, Paul collected offerings from the churches in Asia Minor, and he delivered those offerings to the Jerusalem church to help out the people in poverty at the time. We do not know what will happen through the people we are serving together in the class meetings. When people taste and experience the grace of God in the class meetings, they can grow. And then they will discern God's will for their lives. And we do not know how God will use them for his kingdom work. I remember when I led young adults to small group ministries in the previous church, we had at that time around 90 young college students in the young adult ministries. And then we divide the group around 9 small groups. Can you guess how many people went to seminary? At that time, 9 people went to seminaries. They were nurtured in the class meetings where they could experience God's grace from their small group leaders and also their members. And they received God's calling. In the early Methodist class meeting, whenever we get together, they got together, they always started with a prayer. So the class meeting leader appoint a person who can pray in the small group meeting. And then they sang together a hymn or two. And then the small group leader, class meeting leader, always asked this question every single week. How is your soul? How was your relationship with God in the past week? And then they shared their answers. As a small group leader listening to their answers, he or she or one of the small group members, they offered encouragement and advice. And then they finished the meeting with prayer for one another. It was very simple, but not simple in their content of a conversation. It was very profound. And they shared their lives, and they got the encouragement they need from their small groups. People would often experience conversion simply by joining the class meetings because they could see and experience the grace of God in the class meetings. They believe this is the right place that I have to be here. And they met Jesus Christ personally by listening to the stories of the people in the group. That is why Francis Asbury and Thomas Cook candidly share their thought on how we can grow in the class meeting. That is what they said. We have no doubt, but meetings of Christian brethren for the exposition of scripture text may be attended with their advantages. But the most profitable exercise of any is a free inquiry into the state of the heart. This means if we can share our life stories and state of our minds honestly, we can experience God's grace. Then we can grow together and become a more faithful reflection of God's mercy and love for the people around us. Unless we share our life stories, not easy, we can experience growth together in our lives. What is the class meeting? At the heart of Wesley's movement was a method, a system of discipleship and accountability. If you ask me, can you define the class meeting in three words? These are the three words I'd like to share with you, and I'd like you to remember. The first one is accountability. Second, support. Third, encouragement. Do you remember what is the first one? Accountability. Second one, support. Third one, encouragement. Then we can experience our growth together. My wife, Somi, shared with me an email she received from the Caring Card Ministry at our church. She could see each member's prayer concern and how they are doing at this time. As I read the email, I could feel that they have built up very intimate relationship together. I could sense that. As you might remember, after the COVID situation, we had two ministry groups that just came out to the church building immediately. The first one was our Caring Cards, and the other one was our Kitchen Angels, the bereavement ministry we have at the church. I remember that because they knew the needs of our church members at that time. I'm so glad that we will launch a new ministry for the people who have lost their loved ones with those at the church. And when I was cornered by Jo Winchester, she said that, "John, we need this kind of ministry at the church." I was so excited about that. I believe that that ministry can be a very encouraging and supporting ministry for the people who are in need at our church. We have different kinds of ministries teams at the church, as you know. Please find your own ministry team at the church. If you are not sure which team you have to join, just let me know. Just let Pastor Bethany know that we can find your right team for you. And please be connected to the people in the group. And I'd like to encourage our teams we have. Please start your team meetings with sharing each person's concern about their lives, their prayer concerns. And then close the meeting with the prayers for one another. And then between the meetings, that is your time for ministries for those who shared their prayer concerns. By doing so, we can build up together as God's church together. I hope and pray that we can taste the unity, grace, and power of the Holy Spirit in the small groups we have at the church. And also during the Lenten season, we're going to study the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I encourage all of our church members who are not here with us in Midland, who are now at other states, please purchase the copy of the book and start to read the book together with us during the Lenten season this year. Please. And you will have a chance to taste the power of the small group ministries during the Lenten season as you join the Lenten season Bible study together. Let us remember that God's desire for our lives is our transformation. The class meeting is an important vehicle for us to experience the grace, power, and unity of the Holy Spirit. There, we can be transformed together continually and gradually. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your blessings of the class meetings we had in our tradition. Thinking about our denomination, God, our churches need renewal, transformation, and revival. God, help us to move forward. Help us to build a more intimate relationship together and get to know each other's lives and support and encourage one another. By doing so, God, let us reveal who you are to the world and also to our community together. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Sisters and brothers, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can be continually transformed for God's glory throughout your life. Now, go in peace. Amen.